attention. Might have been better off with a fish up there. They kept staring up here. And what kind of fish is that, Ken? Where did I catch one like that? Might have been better off leaving him up there. Saw a sign this week that struck me, and I thought about it in hindsight. I'm not even 100% sure what the sign said. It was a sign in front of a church, and it kind of caught me as I was passing it. After I was past it, I wasn't even 100% sure what it said. But I think it said, if you need a father figure, try God. That's a good sign, whether that's what it said or not. That's what I think it said. I've had people question something that we've had on our sign out front. So what are you talking about? And they'd tell me what they thought the sign said. And that's not what was up there. And so I was going by at a high rate of speed, and I may have missed it, but that's at least what I think it said. Was if you need a father figure, try God. And so as I thought about that thought, began to think in my head about the issue of father figures. We live in a time when, as Lane mentioned, some don't have fathers, some don't even have a father figure. They really struggle. They don't have any idea about what a father is. And I heard of a preschool teacher one time who was explaining to her Sunday school class about God the Father, and explaining to them that God was like a father. And one of the children in the class became upset, was really struggling with the idea, because as they discussed, they learned that the child had an abusive father, and he didn't want another one. He had one. He didn't need another one. And so the idea of father for some people is very, it's a moving target. They just don't know exactly what it is. I was in a group one time with some teenagers, and one of them in there, he didn't know it, but I had known his mother and father most of my life. His father was a pastor in Kannapolis, and I had known the pastor of the church before him. And he was kind of running off. I said, "Look here, boy, you keep messing with me, I will call your daddy." And I called his name, or your mother, and I called her name. And then I gave him his phone number, because the pastor's number and the church number were still the same. And he just kind of like, and I said, "If he's not in his office, I'll call the house." And I gave him his home number just right at him. And I said, "If I can't find him, I'll call your grandmother." And I called her name. "Or your grandfather." And I called his name. And by now, this kid just thinks I'm like, just sort of the Wizard of Oz or something. And he's, just blown away. This little kid in the back of the room says, "You bet you can't do that to me." And I said, "You don't know that." And he said, "Yes, I do. The law can't even find my daddy." And so now I've got the deer in the headlight look, as funny as that is, it's also a very sad statement about where we are in the world today in America, that many children, many are growing up with either no idea of what a father is, or the idea, the picture they have of a father is a very poor example. I'm not sure I've thought about that. Which is worse, to grow up with no example of a father, or to grow up with a bad example of a father? Maybe if you have no example, you can at least look at somebody else's. But we live in that time. North Carolina, unless the numbers have changed in the last few years, has the largest number of children growing up with their grandparents as any state in America. And so a lot of young people don't have an example of them of a father. And as I thought about that, in that correlation, that so many don't have an idea about an earthly father, they also have no idea about a heavenly father. They don't really understand what that means to have a father. And so if you don't have a father, let's talk about God for a moment as a father. And begin to think about what passage best describes God the Father. God is called Father throughout the Bible, but I think there's one passage, a passage that we know we call the model prayer. First words in the model prayer are what? Our fathers. That's a pretty good place to start talking about our heavenly Father. As I look at this passage and begin to think about it, what it tells us about God. We look at this prayer and we generally focus in on certain things that the Bible says. The prayer says, "Give us this day our daily bread." We talk about daily bread. We talk about forgiveness of sins. Will be done. All those things. But it ultimately really helps us to understand who God is. And I think that's one of the functions of prayer, is that it helps us to see and to know God. So this morning, I want to look at several things that we learned just as we walk through this prayer that I think just help us to understand who our Heavenly Father is and what it means to be able to call God our Father. And as I studied it, I began to realize that there's one part of this prayer that everything else sits on. Without it, the rest of the prayer doesn't stand. And that's this opening phrase, this opening verse, where it begins, "Our Father," which shares with us His position, who He is. And we have the ability, we have the opportunity to tell, to be able to call God Father. Dr. Towns says, let me hear a person pray, and I will give you an opinion, I'll give you my observation of their opinion of God. He says, if someone begins, "Dear Lord," so they're acknowledging the authority, the power of God. Dr. Criswell, who was pastor of First Baptist Texas from forever, when he would pray, he would just simply, generally if you saw him pray, he would lean his head back, look up into the heavens, raise his hands, and say, "Oh, Master," which would tell you again what he thought about God. I walked back there as the first service this morning and just grabbed one. This book, I wasn't going to count them. If you want to and want to get back to me, I'll let you. But this book, the name of this book is All the Divine Names and Titles in the Bible. In other words, this is a listing of all the names and titles in the Bible. And folks, there are a lot of them. You go through the Word of God, and there are places where He has, again, names and titles, the Lily of the Valley, the Rose of Sharon. There are a lot of compound names, Jehovah, Rapha, Elohim. There are a lot of names of God in the Bible, and they are all great. But you know the one that I like? Is to be able to look to the heavens and say, "My Father. My Father." You know, I'm not 100% sure. I don't have the access to all the materials, but as I have looked and thought about it some, you know, as I think about it in my mind, I don't believe there are any religions in the world who address God as Father except Christianity and Judaism. Christianity and the Jews, they look at Him as Father God. They look at Him with that idea. And even in the Old Testament, they really, they didn't even like that. But God, Jesus tells us here, as we look at that, He says we have the ability to be able to go and say, "Our Father." You know, I thought about what an awesome gift that is. And as a really poor comparison, what I thought about is what it must be like to grow up as one of the children of the president. You know, I thought about that, and you've got this guy who's in an office, and everybody's running around, "Yes, sir, Mr. President. No, sir, Mr. President. Can I get you this, Mr. President? Can I do this?" You know, he's walking around with codes to blow up the world, you know, in his briefcase and all this stuff, and everybody's just running to and fro, and, you know, but yet, when his children come into the room, they come running up on his lap, and they don't say, "Mr. President, can we go to the park today?" You know, they run in, they jump up on his lap, you know, they spill the ice cream on his shirt and say, "Daddy, you help me with my homework." You know, think about that. You know, I can't remember when we were discussing this in the early service. I believe Ed Buck said it was little John Kennedy that they say stuck a piece of chewing gum up under the presidential desk. You know, think about that. You know, to be able to stick chewing gum under the president's desk. You know, that to be able to call the most powerful man on the earth, "Daddy." You know, amazing. You know, they had show and tell at school. You know, "I'm with my daddy today." You know, "Who is the president?" You know, "My daddy can whoop your daddy." "No, my daddy's way bigger. My daddy's got a nuclear briefcase full of nuclear codes." You know, "My daddy blew up your house." You know, think about what that would be to be able to say, "Daddy." To run into the Oval Office of the most powerful man in the world and look at him and call him Daddy. You know, and just think then, what does this mean when the Bible tells us that Jesus says we can pray, and so we don't have to pray and say, "Oh dear Lord God, sustainer, creator, da da da," you know, all these things. We can look at him and say, "Father." One of the greatest lessons I think I've ever learned about the whole idea of prayer. Kenneth Rogers, if you ever hear Kenneth Rogers preach a revival, I promise you this, one thing will happen. I don't know what else you will hear, but if you go on Wednesday night, I may be wrong if you go again, but I've heard him a lot of times, and if you go on Wednesday night, I promise you this, you will hear a sermon on this passage entitled Principles of Prayer. And if you've ever heard it, you won't mind hearing it again. It's that good, okay? One of the things I remember that he said in that that he talks about in that prayer is he says, you know, one of the things in that sermon is that one of the things we learn about prayer from this passage is that if we want to be powerful in prayer, we go and talk to God like we would talk to our Father. We pull up a chair, God's in that chair, and we sit in this chair, and we simply talk to our Heavenly Father. What an awesome gift. What an awesome God. You know, God has every right to say, when you address me, you address me as, you know, I heard somebody yesterday talking about a sir sandwich. It's talking about being in the military. Sir, yes, sir. You know, sir, no, sir. Everything had, you know, had to be surrounded by sir. Some of you just had flashbacks. You know, but, you know, he has every right to demand of us to call him, you know, great, grand, wonderful, all these names. But he says, you know what? Just call me Father. I'll be honest with you. If one of my kids called me Mr. Barrett, I don't know how I might just smack them. You know, they call me worse. They just don't. They don't call, you know, generally like most kids, once when they're small, they call you by your first name to get that straight. You know, and then after that, you know, it's daddy. You know, listen, that's what God says. God says, my position, think about what that means. God is saying, I want a relationship with you. I don't want to just be king. I don't want to just be creator. I just don't want to be God. I want to be Father. I want to have a relationship. Our position with Him is seen in our Father. But here's what's great. Think about this. Our Father, which art in heaven. Think about His providence. It's one thing to say, you know, probably most kids do this at some point in time. I say, well, my daddy can whoop your daddy. You know, but think about this. My Father is the God of heaven. My Father is the God of heaven. When I go jump on my Father's knee, I'm not just kidding when I say my daddy can whoop your daddy. You know, when I go and I talk to the God of heaven, I'm not just talking to the God of heaven. I'm not just talking to the Creator from Genesis. I'm not just talking to the ruler. I'm not just talking to the returning Lord. I am talking to my Father that is in heaven. My Father, the Bible says, stretches out His feet and puts them on the earth like a footstool. You know, that's who my Father is. You know, my Father is just not just any father. You know, it always worried me, you know, that whole thing about my daddy whoop your daddy. I always was worried who my kids might say that to. You know, I just see them saying that to Muhammad Ali or something, you know, and it's, you know, get my head beat in. You know, listen, you know, but the great thing about this is I can say, our Father, which art in heaven. Listen, think about His providence, who He is, where He is. My Father is the God of the heavens, and the God of the heavens is my Father. How much greater can that be when we begin to think about what Jesus, how He tells us, what He tells us about God in just this simple statement. Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father, He wants a relationship with me. He's got all of heaven. He's got all the angels. He's got all the splendor and the glory of heaven, and yet He knows my name. And it just doesn't get much better than that. Y'all don't act like it, but it don't get much better than that. Listen, we're talking about the God of heaven, the God that knows the birds as they fall, the God that numbers the hair, the God that if there's a star in the sky twinkling, if there's a cloud in the sky, if a raindrop falls, He said it could be. That's my Father. That's my Father. Our Father which art in heaven. Then He goes on and He not only tells us His position and His providence, but He also talks about His purity when He says, hallowed be thy name. You know, and let's be honest, you know, let's just be brutally honest about this first verse. Let's just be right out there. Most of us, when we think about the model prayer, we hurdle this verse. I mean, just like, you know, like one of them Olympic runners. This verse, we just right over. Because we want to get down there to that, give us this day our daily bread stuff. We want to get down there to that, forgive us our debt stuff. You know, we want to get to that part, you know, because most of us, that's where let's be honest, if, you know, I know this prayer came from Jesus Christ, because if man would have wrote this prayer, it wouldn't have started out like this. It would have started out, dear Lord, give us something. It might not have been, and you know what else? If man would have, it wouldn't have been daily bread. It would have been, give us daily steak. That's just the way we are. You know Americans didn't write it, because we wouldn't have written it this way. But He says, our Lord, our Father, His position, His providence in heaven, His purity, hallowed be thy name. Think about that. What he says is, as he's describing for us our Father, he says his name is holy. Even his name is holy. Just the name is set aside. Let's be honest. It's kind of funny to watch how this works. You know, right now, you saw Aiden while ago up here with me. There come a point, I think, if you had your eyes closed like you're supposed to and was praying, you didn't see it. Right about the middle of that prayer, he decided he wanted that, and he gave me one of these. You know right now, he wanted his mom and dad. He thinks, Ryan, you know, best he can tell, he's best to get. You know how little children are. Yeah, I think about some of the things my kids have brought me and said fix. You know, they bring me, I have had them bring me stuff, and I'm like, what is it? Let alone fix. You know, I done had them do brain surgery on a baby doll one time. Problem with the brain surgery was their head wasn't hooked to the baby. You know, listen, you know, I've had them bring me stuff from two or three different things and say, fix. I'm like, you don't even have all the parts. You know, fix this. You know, when they're small, man, little kid will get up on the wall and say, catch me. They'll jump. You know. Sometimes when you got your back turned to go on, you know, all you hear is catch me. You miss them. You know, but as they're small, they think, oh, mama, daddy, they hung the moon, they do no wrong. And then they're about 6 months old and they start figuring out that's not true. You know, as they grow up, I'm saying, well, this is my daddy had warts, but, you know, and he didn't mean that his daddy had warts. He said his daddy, he was acknowledging his daddy wasn't a perfect man. You know, and the older we get, the more we see that. You know, and the more, it doesn't matter, it's not just our parents, everybody. Listen, let's be honest, you don't have a relationship right now. If you know somebody that you've known more than just a day or two, you know that there's a few things about them you'd like to tweak. Men, be really careful right there. Don't move. Especially if your wife is in the same zip code with you. Because even if she's not here, one of these other ladies will tell them, don't. I set you up for failure right there. But it can be the person you work for. Listen, be honest. There's some things about your children, if you could, you'd tweak. You know, make them act a little bit less like their mother. You know, I'm way up here. She can't reach me from here. But she's got a good memory. It doesn't matter. Every relationship, the longer you know them, the more you say about them, you know, I love them, but, you know. And it's like, you know, tell my wife about it. You know in the South how we do it. You can say the most horrible thing about somebody that you want to, as long as when you get done, you say, bless their heart. You know, I love him, but, you know, bless his heart. You know, and it's all right. You know, I love him, but he's mean and hateful and nasty. Got one eye in the middle of his head, and he's got horns. Bless his heart. You know. And the longer we know somebody, the more that's the way we are about him. The more their flaws we see. But you know what? God's just the opposite. The more we know him, the more hallowed he becomes. The more you know him, yeah, the more you know, the more we know each other, the more things we have to love each other in spite of. Yeah, the more things we have to look over to get along. The more you know God, the more you're around him, the more you're in his presence, the more you realize, I ought to love him. You know, there is no I love him but. There is no in spite of. There is no bless his heart because of his purity, because of hallowed be his name, his position, his province. He is the God of heaven who is my Father who has purity. And based on that, here's what's amazing. You go and he says what? He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I want to ask you something real quick. Just put your mind back in gear. I know you've been letting me do the thinking. Put yours back in gear a second. Do you know, let's think about this for a minute. Let me give you the background before you make a decision. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Okay? In heaven, so is it in earth. How is God's will done in heaven? Perfectly. Who said that? Well, you get a prize. I don't know what it is. God's will is done perfectly in heaven. When they rebelled, they got kicked out. God's will is done perfectly, instantly, without question in heaven. Jesus says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray this way. just as God's will is done in heaven, perfectly, instantly, immediately, without question, I want it to be done the exact same way on earth. What's that saying? He's praying, we're going to pray, God, I want your will to be done perfectly, instantly, immediately, right here. Now, here's what I want to ask you. Do you know anybody on earth, your wife, your children, your neighbors, anybody, that you would look at them and say, today, just one day, I am your humble servant. Thy will be done. You thought anybody yet? Darce Frank shaking his head, by the way. You in trouble. You don't say to her, thy will be done. She looks at you and says, my will be done, right? That's how that works. Do you know anybody that you trust that much, that you look at them and literally just put your life in their hands and say, today I'm yours. Your will be done perfectly, instantly, immediately. Whatever you wish, I'm it. I don't hear any names being offered up. You know why? Because you don't know anybody who is a Father in heaven that hallowed be thy name. You know why we're able to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done? Because I know that he is my Father who would not harm me. He is my Father who is the God of heaven, and he has a holy, pure name. And therefore, I can trust myself to him and say, Lord, thy will be done. That's his purpose. He wants me to be able to trust him and to do his will. You know, some of you have probably been through that. I'm talking about kids jumping off the wall. You know, they get up there and you know, they jump to you. You know, generally, you sure? Okay. Yeah, they don't want to do it at first. You know what God is saying? You know why they get that way? Because this is what I said. They know you're clumsy. They've seen you drop a drink in the kitchen floor. They know that about you. They know your flaws. How in the world can we pray to God, say, whatever you want, Lord, here I am, because he is my Father. Everything else in this prayer is built on, sets on this idea that he is my Father in heaven, hallowed be his name. We see his purpose is that his will be done. Not only his purpose, but then he goes down to the part we actually start paying attention to. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, why in the world, why would the God of heaven care less whether I've got any bread today or not? Why would he care if I ate? Why would he care if I lived or died? Why would God give one iota of concern about me? If he was the God of the universe, he may not. If he was a creator, he may not. If he was a sustainer, some of the other names we give him, he may not. But because he is my Father and I am his child, he cares if I ain't. I've heard, and I don't remember who it was now, said, grew up in a home of five and said there was four slices of pie left, and said when they got ready to eat pie, suddenly mama wasn't hungry. That's the difference. Suddenly mama didn't want a piece of pie, so everybody else had one. Listen, you know why God cares whether I get daily bread or not? Because I'm his child and he's my Father. Listen, the greatest name in the Bible for God is Father. It's just, because he's my Father, he is my provider. Listen, he says, give us this day our daily bread. He is a provider. That's the kind of father that he is. We've got a lot of people who have children, but they're not providers. Mothers and fathers. There's a difference. Listen, he is provision. Give us this day our daily bread. He says, because he is the Father, he will provide for us, honey, his provision. But then look what he says. He says, he forgive us our sins. Again, why would a God, the Creator, why would he care if I was forgiven? Because he's my Father. That's just the way he is. Because that's who he is. Forgive us our sins. As we look at this, listen, do you understand that God wants so desperately to have a relationship with you, to be your Father, to have you be his child, that he sent his only Son to die on a cross for you to establish that relationship? That's how desperately God wants to be your Father. He desperately wants to be your Father so badly that he was willing to have his own perfect, sinless Son sacrificed to establish that relationship. That's the kind of Father he is. You see his pardon, his provision, his position. But then look at this. He says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Again, why would he care whether I was delivered into the hands of evil? Because I'm his child. and He loves me. Listen, you know as well as I do, I love that story. I just can't get it out of my mind. I was reading in the book about, you know, you hear people, I heard somebody say this just yesterday. Said that, you know, mother will die for their child. And I remember reading, and I forgot who the author was, not what the book was, but it was talking about that. Said his wife said the baby was born, and they laid the baby up on her, and she looked around the room there in the hospital and said, "I'd kill for this baby." He said, "Don't you mean you'd die for him?" She said, "No, I said I'd kill for him. If I die for him, what good would I be? I'd kill for this baby." Listen, I want you to understand something. God loves you so much that He sent His only Son. That's how much He loves you. Protect you, to pardon you, to forgive you, to cleanse you. That's how much He loves you. Need a father figure? Try God. Some of you, maybe most, I don't know, grew up either, maybe no father, grew up with a poor example of a father. Grew up with a great father. There's a song that says, "No one loves me like Jesus." No one will be a father figure to you like our Heavenly Father. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. This morning you're here, and you know Christ as your Savior. You know Him as your Father. You are His child. You need to come this morning and kneel on this altar and just say, "Lord, I just want to thank You." Some of you, He may even be the only Father you've really ever known. Lord, I just want to thank You for being a Father. Not just God, not just Savior, not just Creator, not just Provider, but being a Father. For loving me when no one else would.